What a beautiful sight it is to watch our children go off to be discipled. Would you pray with me as we begin? Lord, I come to you now, and on behalf of those that I serve and those that will hear your word now, I pray that your spirit will touch and penetrate each heart, beginning with mine. May your word and your spirit do a work in your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, let me ask you a question as we begin. What does it take to live out the Christian life? What does it take to live out the Christian life? What will that life look like? You know, if you've been with us, that we've been going through the book of Hebrews. We're now in our 62nd week in this series that we've entitled Hold On. And I'm here to tell you that Hebrews will answer those questions. What do you need to live the Christian life? Well, we've seen right from the beginning and all the way through, you need Jesus the Christ. There is no Christian life without Jesus the Christ. Now, I know that might seem obvious, but let me tell you, we live in a time and a place, and Hebrews was written in a time and a place where this reminder was a constant and it was in need. Why? Because there were versions of church that thought that they could exist without Christ being king. You know what I'm talking about, that religious middle road. We have it today. It's all over the place. It's right here in Maryland, in the U.S. It's up in Vermont. It's really spreading all over the country of Uganda. It's permeating the nooks and the crannies of India. And everywhere in between. This is in large part why we have God's word. So I ask you again, what does it take to live out this Christian life? And perhaps more importantly, what does this Christian life that we have in the Bible look like? And even more importantly, what does this Christian life that is given to us in God's word, which shapes and shares God's will and clearly outlines God's ways, what does this Christian life love like? You see, you'll see before we're done today, you cannot, I cannot live this Christian life, this biblical Christian life, without a biblical love. It cannot happen. Where Christ is, a Christ-like love will exist. And where no Christ-like love exists, Christ does not take residence. You cannot pull these apart as much as the culture and the cultural church, the Laodicean church of our day, would like us to believe that these don't necessarily have to go together. God and his word have made clear from cover to cover that he reigns, he, Jesus, is Lord, or you are not his. Now, we've been going through this book of Hebrews, and no doubt, not just those that I can see, but many that I can hear, have been saying, might be saying, and will continue to say, when is enough going to be enough with this Hebrews? Well, I have good news. We've come to the final chapter, and all the warnings have been covered. Now, if you've had a difficult time, if Hebrews has gone down like broken glass, thank the Lord for the medicine of his word. Amen. And for those now that find ourselves asking, what next? What now? It's a beautiful thing that God has done. And in Hebrews chapter 13, he brings us clarity. You will see this before we're done today. We're going old school, just you, me, and our Bibles. If you have your Bible, I want to encourage you, get it. Let's go together to Hebrews chapter 13. While you're going there, let me just remind you where we've already been. I've not said this to you up until this point, so I pray that what you're about to hear is going to bless you. But no doubt many have struggled with this book. I've heard it. I see it. I know it. Let me ask you, what is it that you feel has been so difficult for most, if not you, for most? Because here's an interesting point. Do you realize that up through chapter 10, there have been very few imperatives? Now, I've been pastoring and preaching for a while, and I've heard people say, you know, you're always in our face. You're one of those preachers that's always telling us what we have to do or what we can't do. You're a very action-oriented, very application-oriented preacher. Have you noticed, and again, I've not brought it up to you until right now, the first 10 chapters of Hebrews was strangely absent of stern application. Very few imperatives, very few commands. You see, Hebrews chapter 1 through 10, it's almost totally doctrine. The duty has been saved for the last couple of chapters. In fact, I would press you to press into the word. Go back through Hebrews, especially if you've struggled with this book. You will find the five structural warnings that have been laid out in the book. But this is a book that is all about, this letter, it was most likely a sermon, is all about rising up in awe and reverence to an understanding of biblical Christology, to see Jesus as Christ, Messiah, to see Jesus as Lord of all. And simultaneously, it's a letter of exhortation. So it has been a letter of high Christology and almost predominantly all the way through the first 10 chapters with high exhortation, primarily up to this point being reminded progressively, don't drift away from Christ and his church. Don't disconnect from Christ and his church. Don't dilly-dally with things of the world or people of the world. And in so doing, drift and disconnect from Christ and his church. Don't you dare disobey and shrink back, for those who do will be destroyed. And we saw last week, don't you dare reject and refuse the King of Kings, for our God is a consuming fire. Whew. Well, now we come to chapter 13. The Christology has been covered. The exhortations have been laid out structurally with these warnings. But did you notice chapters 1 through 10 give us the doctrine? Chapter 11 gives us the inspiration. They're all our folks that show us that this can be done in Christ. That God has shown us in the Old Testament and right here in the New that you can be all that Christ has called you to be. What's it take to live the Christian life? It takes Christ. Takes a want to worship him, not ourselves. Takes a walk that will include some serious work, that collectively worship, walk, and work create a witness for which the Holy Spirit has been given, Acts 1:8. Wow. Well, if we've got the Christology, we got the doctrine, we got the inspiration here with these guys and ladies in Hebrews 11, what's going on in Hebrews 12 and 13? Well, some of you noticed when we covered chapter 12 and we took our time, there were a boatload of commands in that chapter. Do you know that over two-thirds of the instructional commands in the book of Hebrews are found in chapter 12 and chapter 13? Like so often is the case in the New Testament and really throughout all the Bible, we get told, here's what you need to believe so that it will change how you behave. And just so that there's some clarity, most of the time, and here again in Hebrews, let me tell you how it is that you are to behave so that you don't pervert what you say you believe. Here's a litmus test. Your beliefs will guide your behaviors, and your behaviors will reveal your true beliefs. Well, now here we are, having covered chapter 12, we realize, wow, there were some serious imperatives, some serious commands there. Did you notice they were primarily principle-based? You're to lay aside every encumbrance. Well, what exactly do you mean by that? Well, I mean you're to lay aside every encumbrance, anything that slows you down, and the sin that so easily entangles. Wow, then what? Well, then you're to run with endurance. Run, Christian, run. Don't walk, don't jog, don't skip. Run with endurance. Well, where am I running? Well, you're going to run the race that has been set before you by God and his word, which shows you his will and which will guide you in his way. Wow. Really? You want me to do that? Yeah. Consider him. Consider him who endured so much from and for wretches like us. Yeah, that's pretty humbling. Well, it's not only humbling. Do you realize you've not yet shed your own blood in this path in pursuit of faithful obedience? Wow, boy, you're really piling on there, author of Hebrews. God, what are you doing? I want to tell you, you need to strive for peace with every man. Peace, like no friction? No, not no friction. I mean wholesome holiness in Christ. You're to have restored relationships that are Christ-centered, Christ-focused, and truly gospel-advancing, kingdom-building. Wow, with every man? Yeah, we call that the Great Commission. How am I supposed to do that? Well, we call that the Great Commandments. By loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself, you're going to find that you're just doing that. You're just being. Right? As Augustine said, listen, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, and then go do whatever you want. Anything you want. This is what we've been learning. Say, wow, sounds like you're putting some responsibility on me. Yeah, you're to see to it, you personally, professing Christian, you're to see to it that no sheep drift, that no goats divide, and that no wolves devour. Well, that's the pastor's job. No, that's your job. If you're a professing Christian, that's who I'm talking to, says the author of Hebrews. You're to see to it. Take the overseer's role and responsibility. Well, I don't have any authority. Yes, you do. All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, you go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, by the way, to obey how much? All that I have commanded. I don't think I can do that. Well, don't sweat it. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. I'll do it in you. What does it take to live the Christian life? I need Christ in me. I can't do this without him. Exactly. But if he is in me, now I see that I'm to bring acceptable worship. I'm to come with reverence and awe. This is where we were last week. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. If you're a true believer, you've got the unshakable kingdom. It's a gift. You've been adopted in. And let us now offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. You see, friends, true faith demands true living. This is what the Word of God is telling us. This is what we've learned. So what do we do with this? How do we go forward? Well, chapter 13 in Hebrews, it gives us a description of the unshakable life that was promised. The big idea for today, what I would tell you is this, is that real Christ-like love really loves like Christ. Real Christ-like love really loves like Christ. That's the point. Remember, the letter has been written to people who are shrinking back, who are pulling away, who are making rationalizations, are saying it basically, I don't have to go this far. This isn't necessary. I can be a Christian and hang out at the synagogue. Listen, God knows my heart. Watch out. Because he does. And he's telling us that's exactly why you're shrinking back. It's exactly why you're disobeying. It's exactly why you're beginning to refuse and reject him and his word. Because your heart's not right. And he loves you too much to let you drift away without coming. Watch where this now gets personal. As we go into chapter 13, and I want to caution you, because if you've been raised in our church culture, you come to chapter 13 and you're like, okay, fresh chapter. Let's see what's next. There's no chapter break in the divine writing. So I want you to hear this the way God wrote it. One sentence after another after another. God's word. Therefore, so all that we've learned up to now, having been inspired by the examples in chapter 11, and now having been admonished and exhorted in principle to live this life that truly is Christ-like, let us be grateful. So this isn't a have to, this is a get to. Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Say, Pastor Jeff, those don't really seem like they go together. If you don't think so, it's because of your cultural expectations. It's cultural assumptions. This is the divine word of God. For our God is a consuming fire, and let brotherly love continue. Well, why in the world would you put those two together? Because when you don't allow brotherly love to continue, you need to know that a loving God is a consuming fire who will deal with that eternally. Are you sure? Yeah, because then he says, do not neglect. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Hebrews 13, verse 1 and 2. Here's what I want you to see today, and I pray be changed forevermore. 3 points. Do, don't, and remember. Do, don't, and remember. Do what? Continue brotherly love. Don't what? Don't neglect hospitality. Remember, in so doing, some of you have entertained angels without knowing it. Do, don't, and remember. How am I supposed to live this Hebrews Christian life? Do, don't, and remember. This way we get started. You're going to find in the beginning portion of chapter 13 of Hebrews, we're going to have lessons on love. We could have a series here that just unpacked Hebrews 13, and you would find it to be a series filled with lessons on love. Today's title of the message is Living Lessons of Love. Living lessons of love based on this passage. Let me show you what I pray will be, in most cases, some things that serve as reminders, but I have a sneaky suspicion that I might have a surprise for some of you, if not most. And I pray that it will change the way you see everything from 50,000 feet down. Let's first look at this verse. One verse, two words, three parts. Verse one. One verse, let brotherly love continue. You realize in Greek that's only two words. That verse has two words, Philadelphia meno. There's your Greek lesson for today. Hebrews 13 verse 1, Philadelphia meno. If you can learn those two words, you've got Greek down. You're quoting your New Testament. Philadelphia meno, let brotherly love continue. Philadelphia, a word that you and I know, is a compound word in Greek. It's the word for which our city in part of Pennsylvania is named. Who knows it? What do we call Philadelphia? The city of brotherly love. Philadelphia. Phileo is love. Delphia is brother. It literally means from the same womb. So, verse number 1 of chapter 13. Here you go. How do I live this life? If I need Christ to do it, if Christ is in me, what it's going to look like is brotherly love. That's what it looks like. You want to know why koinonia is such a big deal here? Because it's a big deal to Jesus. It's a big deal because it defines his church. Read John 17. Take a look at Acts chapter 2. You'll find that the people there, they were together in fellowship. They were ecclesia, church, in koinonia, fellowship, supernatural unity, doing all of this together, homothumadon, with a single riotous passion and a guided purpose. This is a big deal. It's not just because Hebrews 13:1 says so. It's a command. Here we go. Here's your imperative. Let brotherly love continue. Well, let me take this a little bit closer, and I pray, bless you. I said to you one verse, two words, Philadelphia meno, three parts. Let's divide those words as they are in their single structure. Phileo, love, Adelphia, the one from the same womb, brother. Continuing, meno, abiding. Watch what happens and tell me if this is shaping your understanding of what it is to live and love the Christian life. When we talk about Philadelphia, we're going to see that love, phileo. I pray that you'll see here that there are three aspects to this love: real love, relational love, and real deal love. That's what's being made here. Now, the real love, the word here is phileo. I want to caution some of you that may know your Bible in a little bit of Greek and say, well, that's not agape. Agape is the real love. Let me tell you, phileo is real love. Agape is real love. You don't need to be able to tear things down into some of these other original languages in order to get the idea. The point here is phileo, love your brother. Simple. I told Rob yesterday, I pray that the complications of Hebrews are going to be lifted and the clarity that comes from this passage will bless you. So what do I got to do? Love your brother. Love your brother. There's this real love, phileo, that's what it is. It's a passionate, brotherly, compassionate kind of love. It's not agape, which some would say, well, that's that higher tier. I would just tell you that the Bible uses these words interchangeably at different times. They have nuances, but don't you think for a second that phileo is some kind of a second-class love? It's not. It's a biblical love. So let us have this real love. Let that love be relational. I want you to see that 1 Corinthians 13 will walk you and me down through a whole portrait of what this love looks like, what it lives like, what it loves like. This is real, and it's interpersonal. That's the whole idea. It defines, it shapes, it feeds our relationships. But it's also the real deal. My prayer is that you'll read 1 John. If you're in our church family this week, I sent you out David Platt's Bible study on 1 John. And he shares it to help people to see God's love revealed. I've told you in the past that that book, 1 John, it was written to define and to defend the church, in large part by bringing clarity to biblical love, to know what it really has. Last week, if you were with us, you heard Mrs. Paul Washer describe how she, for 12 years as his wife and missionary, thought that she had something in her religion that was not a redemptive relationship with Christ. And it was in walking through 1 John that God opened up her eyes. Now, most people don't have the stomach or enough steel in their spiritual spine to walk through 1 John honestly. But that, like Hebrews, is why it's here. It's to bring God glory by clarifying the Christian life so that you and I can have an understanding of what this means. Know that this love, this is what God wants you and me to have and to share. That biblical love was God's motive and our mission. And if it truly is your mission, it will be your motive as well. That's the essence of Christ-likeness. You see, we're not here to build a crowd. We're not here to sell Jesus. We're not here to try to figure out how to get enough things going to look like we're successful. We're here to bring God glory. The church is the called out, set apart, spirit-filled people of God who will lay down their lives if need be out of love for him and love for others. What did Jesus say when asked what's the most important? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Who's your neighbor? The Good Samaritan taught us that. You and I have neighbors all over the world. Now, what happens if this simple verse actually defined us? Let the love of the brethren continue. Let the family of God love like the family of God. I'll tell you what would happen. Superficiality would burn off. The Velcro kind of relationships that come and go in the night, that trade off like old shoes, that goes away. Why? Because you really love each other. How? Christ in you. Why? For his glory. For how long? The rest of my life. for his glory. Simple, simple verse. How about brother? If phileo adelphia is brother, love your brother, what's my brother got to do with it? Well, let's see here again from God's word, three parts of a brother that I pray that you'll take away. You're seeing Hebrew brothers, holy brothers, and human brothers here. How do I know? We were told to make peace with all men just prior. Now, we know specifically he's writing to his Hebrew brothers. So that would be a brotherhood or a kinship that you and I could relate to being Americans, could be to being in this part of the world. It's a real connectivity that is not spiritually complete, but it's real. These Hebrew brothers, we saw Paul in Romans 9 made it very clear. He so loved them that he'd lay down his life that they could come to Christ. Do we love our brothers this way? How about when we look at the holy brothers? It was in Hebrews 3:1 that we saw the distinction. There are brothers and then there are holy brothers. The writer of Hebrews is writing to the professing church at sometimes, brothers, and he's writing to the real church who is inside the professing church, but he can't always tell the difference. He says, now my holy brothers, the true believers, well, let that family of God also be recognized. This again is where you and I, John 17, Acts 2, we're to set the world on fire by faith in showing them a love for one another that reveals a love for God that has to be dealt with. There's no way of, this is Titus 2:15, declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no one disregard you. No one disregard me. How? You're the aroma of Christ. When? Especially when you're the family of God on display. That's what he prayed for. That's what he died for, that we could be. So if I say, or you say, or somebody else says, hey, listen, that's not that big a deal. There are good churches everywhere. Just pick one. Well, you've just denied and defied one of the very purposes and core foundational points of the gospel. Jesus has given you and me the privilege of bringing his glory to the world. And the greatest way you and I can do that is by sharing, validating, and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we do that in our best, most fullest fashion when we do it together. When the family of God is arresting the attention of an onlooking world. This is the essence of the gospel. I want you to think about this. When we talk about the Hebrew brothers, that's the religious or the lightly fitted connections. Hey, we're all Americans. We're all veterans. We're all workers at this company. We're all in this neighborhood. It's that loose fitting connection. The holy brotherhood, this is where our supernatural unity is not only valid, but it's God's calling card. It's the calling card of Christ. You say, well, what about this third category, the human brotherhood? Well, this is the Great Commission, friend. This is where I pray to God, all of a sudden things start to change because you realize you're not to find yourself in a good church and get a cocoon going. No, you and I, if we're going to be a great church, we're going to bring the love and the light of Christ out to all human brothers. We're all made in the image of God. Every person you and I ever meet is either a brother or sister in Christ or a potential brother or sister in Christ. And if that's not enough for you, wait till we finish. Otherwise, it might just be an angel. But let me go back. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. But please see this. This is what the passage is saying. Let the love of your brothers continue. This word continue, what does it bring to light? Well, let me just tell you, by definition, it means it exists, it means it's active, and it means it will go forward. Truly, to define continue, it validates its reality. It speaks to it in an action-oriented present tense. It is being, and the very root of continuing means it will go forward. So, in this one verse, you and I are being told, let us love with a real love that's relational, and it's a real deal. 1 John 3:18, let us not love with word and tongue, but in action and in truth. our brothers. Which brothers? Our Hebrew brothers, our holy brothers, and our human brothers. Well, that pretty much covers everybody, doesn't it? Exactly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever, we're in the whosoever ministry. As ambassadors of Christ, you're to be at peace with all men. Strive for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. This is part of the very essence of this. Remember, this is the next verse on the other side of Hebrews 12. Our human brothers remind us that Jesus said, listen, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. I said to you 2 weeks ago, psst, you are your brother's keeper. You are your brother's keeper. That's God's word. Galatians 6:2. The law of Christ is that we love and bear one another's burdens. You know, live a life worthy of the gospel. I was going to at one point share with you all kinds of verses. I don't want to drown you in verses. I just want to smother you with truth and love. And let the Spirit of God with the Word of God touch you in a way that I pray can't be denied and won't be pushed away. That you and I will see that this is an incredible privilege. In John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said, listen, a new command I give you. You're to love one another as I have loved you. Let me ask you, do you just Velcro off a relationship that has the kind of love that Jesus had? He said, I didn't have any Velcro. I had a cross. I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Paul said, yeah, I get it. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. It's Christ that lives in me. You want to know what it looks like? I'm picking up my cross daily and I'm following my King. I'm going to do everything I can to bring him glory by sharing this truth and love, no matter what. Well, what about when superficiality creeps in? Well, I'm going to admit it. I'm going to repent of it. I'm going to ask God to give me the grace to go forward. Because I know what he says about persevering. I know what he says about the end of the race instead of the start of the race. I know what he did for me. I want to be his ambassador. I thank him for these privileges. Paul told Titus, in all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, in order that the opponents may be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about you. Be this church in love with God, in love with one another, living out what he has called us to live out. This is the essence of it. One has said, if you want to put it in a nutshell, it's Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. You'll see, I'll share with you a little bit more from that Romans 12. It's powerful. It's powerful. One theologian said, put in its most basic form, brotherly love is caring for others more than we care for ourselves. When we are preoccupied with ourselves, we stifle brotherly love. End quote. No doubt somebody's quick to rise up and say, yeah, don't give me that, preacher. Okay, how about I give you Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Do nothing, nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. But with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. That's God's word. Think about it. Walk through the Sermon on the Mount. I say this lovingly, compassionately. I dare you. I dare you. Walk through, slowly, the Sermon on the Mount. See how much self survives that journey. And see if you're not motivated to bring glory to the Savior, to rest in the love that is our Lord. Okay, that's verse 1. Two words. Phileo, Adelphia, meno. Brotherly love, continue. I want to take a little bit of time, not long. I just want to unpack the second verse. Because here's where I pray things ratchet up, bless you, and change the way that you see things forevermore. Let me ask you this before I go into the verse. What are you afraid of? Anybody have any phobias? I mean, real deal. Listen, that one just makes my skin crawl. Think about it. And then think of the name of that thing. If you watch Charlie Brown, I haven't validated it beyond Charles Schultz, but Charlie Brown will tell you that a fear of bridges is Jeffophobia. Now, my loving bride had a concern with bridges when we first met. Now, what are the odds of that? Dating a guy named Jeff and having a Jeffophobia reaction to bridges. What are you afraid of? And let me ask you this, better stated. How do you overcome what you're afraid of? Somebody might say, well, you overcome it. You get in the face of what you're afraid of, and you just push right through it, right? Well, what happens when that's a spiritual fear? How do you overcome spiritual fear? His name is Jesus. How do you live the Christian life? You need Christ. What's it look like? It looks like love, right? Well, what if it involves something I'm afraid of? His name is Jesus. Takes Christ, and it'll look like love, right? That's what it looks like. That's what it lives like. That's what it loves like. Well, someone might be quick to say, well, that's a little pop psychology. So let me back it up with the Bible. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Now, I'm going to do something here I don't normally do, and that is I'm going to shift the text a little bit. There are three points in this second verse. There is a command, there's clarity, and then there's celebration. And I want to cover number one and number three first and come back to number two. And I pray it will bless you. What's the command? Do not neglect. What does it mean? It means don't forget, don't stop doing, don't choose to do other than what? Well, what's about to be spoken of. But at this point, let's understand we're in the command business here. God is making it clear. Just like he said, you're commanded now to continue in the growing, in the nurturing, in the thriving of love for your brothers, your Hebrew, holy, and human brothers. Well, now here's another command. Do not neglect. Do not choose not to. Wow. Not to what? To show hospitality to strangers. Well, what if I don't like strangers? What if I don't have the gift of hospitality? Let's get back to that. Let's go to number three. Number three, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Let me just point out here, God is saying, hey, listen, there's a blessing here. There's a blessing here. So I love it because God is showing his tenderness. When he could and often does tell us because I said so, here he's reminding us, hey, don't forget now. When you don't neglect to show this hospitality even to strangers, some have been, you might be blessed. For some have entertained angels without knowing it. Let me ask you this. When you hear of that blessing, how many of us are honest enough to admit, I assume that blessing is what I get, instead of what I get to give? The blessing from God's perspective is not that, hey, you got to entertain angels and look at what the angels gave you. No, that's not the point at all. The point here is that you were blessed in the ability to give hospitality to angels. You were the giver and therein you were blessed. We live in a time and a culture that thinks, no, it's when I get that I'm blessed. And the vast majority of people that will read this text will assume that the blessing was that they got to have angels, and who knows what comes with angels. But I bet that was awesome. Well, here's what gets to come with angels: service. You got to serve God's messengers. That word angel that we read in the English, in its Greek context, it could mean, and it has a generic application as messengers. Now, it also has the implied reference and definition of angels. But here's the point. If and when you and I will not neglect, don't stop, don't drift, don't disconnect, don't dilly-dally, don't disobey, don't deny and defy. When we don't neglect to serve this hospitality, we will be blessed. not because you get an express visit by angels, but because you get to be the servant of God. You get to be. So there's a command. The celebration is that you got to entertain. That word entertain means that you got to take care of strangers. That's literally what it means. You got to serve the strangers who may have been angels. But the blessing is not in their identity. The blessing is in the fact that you got to be God's servant. And you didn't even know it. Isn't that a great little kicker at the end? You had this blessing and you didn't even know it. Now, most people think, well, you didn't know that you had angels. I believe what God is saying, not only didn't you know that you had angels, you didn't realize that the blessing was in the serving. You didn't know it. Now, here's the greatest part of all, and here's where I pray that you'll be blessed. Recognizing that when we're told not to neglect this, that's there because we have a tendency to neglect it. Our flesh does not want to walk by faith. Now, there are very real obstacles to this command. There's an obstacle, set of obstacles to not having brotherly love continue. There are also obstacles to you and me not doing the hospitality that we're called to. Those obstacles tend to be delusions. We think wrong thoughts. Maybe you've been taught wrong, but we have delusions that are wrong thoughts. We also end up having distractions, which are worldly focuses. We deal with dilutions, which is that which is watered down. It's not totally off, it's just watered down. It's not a delusion, it's a dilution. We also end up dealing with divisions. You know, when you feel like you have to choose between this one or that one. That's an obstacle because God's way is both and. It's both. And we also deal with the obstacles of demons, who are just purely wicked, and those minions of that group. So if we're told, don't neglect this, and we're told there's a celebration of blessing on the other side of this, then I think it's worth our time to understand what is this. Say, Pastor Jeff, you already told us. It's practicing hospitality. Well, let me tell you what is hidden here that is such a blessing to pull out. To show hospitality to strangers. That's one Greek word. One Greek word. I ask you again, what are you afraid of? Some are afraid of strangers, right? Oh, I would do that, but not with strangers. Well, that eliminates you from the Great Commission because the world is filled with strangers. And our call to be the church requires us to be the church in a world full of strangers. Now, we be by exemplifying brotherly love in a perpetual motion. I told you already, that's what it looks like. That's what it lives like. That's what it loves like. When we are being the church, we are exemplifying this brotherly love. Philadelphia meno. Phileo, those that are your brothers, continuously. Why in the world do we have verse number 2 here? Why didn't we just zero in on verse number 1? Because this word for hospitality, it's going to bother some of us. This word for hospitality is very much related to the word for brotherly love. See, if you have a fear of strangers, we would call that, some of you know, xenophobia, right? Xenophobia. It's a fear of strangers. Let me tell you what the dictionary would tell you about that fear. Quote, xenophobia or fear of strangers is a broad term that may be applied to any fear of someone who is different from us. In someone who suffers from legitimate xenophobia, hatred is generally a reaction to that fear. Now, what do you and I do with the fact that if you have xenophobia and God's word has said that you're to show hospitality to strangers, well, you've got a problem. What do you do with that? Well, God knows how he made me. I'm just wired this way. That's why we have grace. Wrong. You're called to faithful obedience to the glory of God. Well, he knows I can't. There's no can't on this side of the cross. For you can do all things in Christ who gives you strength. Philippians 4:13. Well, I don't know about that. Well, you know what? If you've got the Spirit in you, you've been given everything you need for life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. You want to know why some of these come at you often? Because you need to hear it all the time. And I encourage you, go find these biblical foundational truths in God's word. Why? So that you can love the brothers continually. So that you won't neglect showing hospitality to strangers. Because there's a celebration and a blessing in there for you sometimes. If you'll serve, you might just feel the very presence and power of Almighty God. What is it to show hospitality to strangers? Phileo xenia. To love strangers. It's not making some cupcakes. It's not inviting them over for a cookout. Now those things, fine, a part of it. But here's the deal. You and I are to love the strangers. Don't neglect phileo xenia. Don't neglect loving the strangers. Which ones? The ones that you'll find locally, regionally, and globally. The Hebrews, the holy strangers, and the human strangers. This is the great commandment and the great commission. What I would call the great combat. It shows you a portrait of the great Christian and the great church. So who are you? Well, we're the ones that are repenting. We're the ones who are admitting who we've been. But now we understand God's word, God's will, and God's way. We're not to neglect loving the strangers. You see, it's a redundant reference here. And mind you, hospitality, the love of strangers, it's noted as a spiritual gift. So some of us will have turbocharged love of strangers. But all of us are to have this. Who's the letter written to? The professing church. All professing Christians. This is such a powerful, simple explanation. This is the exclamation mark. We're just beginning. Wait, as we continue, we're going to find out. This is going to talk to us about those that are in prison. It's going to talk to us about our bedrooms, moms and dads. It's going to talk to us about everything. It's a portrait of the Christian life. What does it mean not to drift, not to disconnect, not dilly-dally, not disobey, not deny and defy Christ? What does it mean to lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles, to run a race with and for Christ with endurance, the race that he set, to strive after considering him, to be at peace with all men, to strive for the holiness without which it'll be impossible to see the Lord? Go back to Hebrews 10. To stir one another up to love and good deeds. To be that one who will see to it that those around you and me are not going to drift, not going to divide, not going to be devoured or devour. This is our privilege. This is what brotherly love looks like, lives like, loves like. Note, it's not to become the Lions Club with a Bible in hand. It's not to become that superficial collection of religious people. Say, well, how can you tell the difference? God's word just gave it to us. Are you supernaturally unified? Would you literally be willing to die for one another for the glory of God and a love for the one next to you? Well, I know I better say yes, but honestly, not a chance. Well, then you're either not the church or you're not in a healthy standing with the Christ of the church. That's just the bottom line. Well, who do you think you are? I'm the reader of Hebrews. That's the purpose of this letter. And at the end, everything gets real simple and real clear. Here's how you know, and here's how you go forward. Where are you with this God and his word? There were many who said, you know us. You know who I am. Say, but you're drifting. You're disconnecting. You know you're disobeying. You know it. I mean, you're on the verge. You're flat out disobeying and denying Christ. You know that. Yeah, but you don't understand. I said, no, I do. That's why God gave me Hebrews. And that's why I'm talking to you like this, because I do understand. And either you don't or you won't admit it. And he sent me to tell you, listen, you want to boil it all down? Let's just start here. Continue the brotherly love that defines this church. Don't neglect loving strangers either. This is not a cocoon. And you help them understand, remember, the foundation, the high Christology. We're all about Christ. This fellowship is defined by our worship. You need a building, you need a program, you need X, Y, Z. That's not the church. No. The church is the called out, set apart people of God who say to themselves and to the world, he is worth it, he's all I need, he's my focus, everything. Whatever else gets in the way, gets in the way. I want you to think about all the clutter in the Christian community today. All the rationalized rubbish, all the spiritual cholesterol that is clogging the veins of Christ's church and body. It really is quite simple. Starting here, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And don't for a second allow anybody else's definitions but God's own to walk you through that process. Because I'll tell you what, the world will lie to you. You go through 1 John and what you'll realize, somebody's lying. Somebody's lying. You got the Word of God and the world around you. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Let your time, your talent, and your treasure give the answer. The writer of Hebrews is saying, let's just boil it all down to this. Continue phileo of the brothers. Keep loving your brothers with a Christ-centered love. Nonstop. In a way that arrests the attention of the superficial world when they see the superficial worship that goes up vertically and is shared horizontally. That's all. And just in case, don't neglect that love for the stranger. Now, I've shared an awful lot of scripture with you off the cuff. Let me also share this with you. Matthew 10:16, Jesus sending out those disciples the way I'm encouraging you. I'm sending you out as sheep amongst wolves. Therefore, you take this truth and all the other truths, and you be as shrewd as a serpent and as innocent as a dove to the glory of God. Don't allow the either-or crowd to pit you against itself or one truth against another. Let us be the both-and people who Philadelphia men know. Philadelphia men know. You'll be amazed at what will happen when the church will Philadelphia men know and not neglect to love the stranger. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for the truth of these two little verses with an eternity worth of truth and love. Lord, my prayer is that we will be Philadelphia men know, and that no one within the sound of my voice will neglect to love the stranger. Lord, let no stranger take advantage of your people. Let nothing be twisted or turned to a perverse way. But let us be the book of Hebrews, lived out for your glory by your grace. May we be your ambassadors who get to exemplify all that you have done and privileged us to be. I pray this on behalf of the people I serve, and I pray it for everyone that has heard your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, the worship team will come.